trust that you first responders that are with us today will just be encouraged and honored. Just know that we are truly praying for you, and trust that we'll be able to support you in any way we can as a church. I want to make that always known, and I tell our people, I know sometimes I sound like a broken record, but I just tell our people, parents, please teach your children to respect those in authority in our community, men and women in uniform, whether it be a fireman, whatever the case may be, a fireman, and whether it be a policeman, whatever the case may be, a military, go up and thank them for their service to our community. It just encourages a spirit of gratitude, and it also shows a respect for those that are serving our community. And I just appreciate that so very much. You know, you often hear kids, that's probably one of the most popular professions, if you will, or services or livelihoods for a young person to say. You know, whether you're talking to a first grader or a fourth grader, a lot of times you do ask them, well, little Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, a lot of the times it's, I want to be a firefighter, and I want to be a policeman. I want to be an army man. And, you know, I appreciate that because, boy, those are that shows right there that they look up to that position and to that job description and to that service. And it's neat to have that. In fact, it's just recently I was confronted with that same question. It kind of caught me off guard, to be honest with you. We're on our way to school the other morning. I'm taking Mary Ann to school each morning, and she just kind of pops that question on me, and I wasn't expecting it, but it was this: Daddy, what do you want to be when you grow up? I didn't know what to say, honestly. It caught me off guard, and I thought a couple things. Well, I said, well, wow, that's kind of neat, you know. What do I be when I grow up? I was thinking, well, maybe she's telling me I need to grow up. I don't know. But I just said, I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, honey, I do. I just want to be a good pastor when I grow up. I just want to be a good pastor and to serve the Lord. And so then I asked her, I said, well, honey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And evidently they've been talking about this in school. I didn't know they start talking about their professions in kindergarten, but they evidently that's where they're starting early. But she says, Daddy, I want to be a cowgirl. I said, well, how about that? I said, honey, I said, well, listen, you, that's just fine. I say, but you'd be the best cowgirl for Jesus that you can be. And she seemed to like that, but you just never can tell what those kids' questions, they're going to pop on you. Parents, we got to be ready. And it is something else. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 142, the book of Psalms, and chapter 142 this morning. Psalm 142 is where I'll be. Again, we do praise the Lord for a day that we can join together. And I believe the Lord would have me give the message this morning that revolves around this subject of first responders, and trust in the Lord to help us to grow in that and to be helped by that. But I'm just going to begin reading. It's Psalm 142. If you'll look at verse 1 with me, Psalm 142, verse number 1. The Bible says here, read with me together, you can read silently, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. You say, is that proof there that we can complain to the Lord? It sure is. It sure is. We can always, the Lord says we can complain to Him, but we got to complain in the right spirit. But let me continue reading here. It says here, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, in the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man
cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to be an encouragement to the folks that have come to the service this morning. I pray, Lord, that You would be lifted up above all. I pray that You would be exalted, and I pray that we'd be drawn to the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray You'd deal with us, Lord, where we're struggling, that You would strengthen us, fortify us, and Lord, that we might have a walk that pleases You. Father, we commit every part of this message to You. I trust that we'll be obedient to Your Spirit in the moments ahead. For I do ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to title this message this morning this, A Cry from a Cave. A cry from a cave. You say, that is that where David is? That's exactly where he is. He is running from King Saul, a man that's seeking to take his life out, to destroy him because of jealousy and envy and pride. And this man is fearing, King David is fearing for his life. He's in a cave and he's crying out. He's probably dark in this cave and it's alone in this cave. And we hear it in his voice that he's in trouble. And as I think about First Responders Sunday and Patriot Day, I think about the men and women daily who answer the call to people in trouble. People that are in distress and people that have to get some help or there will be death knocking on their door. And I'm so thankful for those first responders. And I see here David in trouble, in distress, and he's calling out. If you will, if you could say it, David has hit the buttons 911. He's in trouble. And he's calling out, but I want to tell you, he's not calling out to any man because we see the men had failed. He's calling out to Almighty God. And that, my dear friend, is the greatest responder, first responder, if you will, that ever has been or ever will be. Amen. He is the one that responds the greatest. He's the one that responds the most accurate. He is the one, Almighty God, is the one that is so in tune with the cry of the people of earth and especially His children that He knows exactly when to respond and how. I'm thankful for that. We see that this despairing cry unto the Lord in verse 4. He says, Lord, I looked on my right hand and I don't see anybody. And I look around me. Listen to what he says in verse 4. And there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. He says, no man cared for my soul. You see that despairing cry there. But then, you see it was to the Lord. The next verse, he says, but because of that, I cried unto Thee, O Lord. You know what I believe? David knew that God Almighty would hear his cry. I believe that David knew in his heart that even though he was in trouble, that God would hear him. And he cried out unto the Lord. There was a cry for deliverance. The Lord, you know, has been the deliverer from the beginning. He specializes in delivering. He specializes in responding to those that are in trouble and distress. And I'm so thankful for that He specializes in that. He's ready. The motto for the Coast Guard was Semper Paratus, which simply meant always ready or always prepared. Well, we don't ever have to worry about one moment that the Lord God is not prepared for our cry. When we call out to the Almighty, dear friend, His ear is going to be ready to listen. But can I tell you something that we'll see here in just a moment as we look further into the text? Folks, do you know that a cry for deliverance must also be coupled with a cry of dependence? Watch me now. A lot of people in our day and age want to call out for deliverance, for God to deliver them out of their troubles. But when you get to the line saying, no, I want you to go further than that, not only do I want you to call out for me for deliverance, but you must call out for dependence. A daily dependence of trusting the Lord. And that's what we're going to see David do here. He's not only going to cry for deliverance, but he's crying out in dependence. And they must be together. You know, those of you that have been trained, I know we have some lifeguards out here, trained lifeguards, and I was one. I'm not up to date on my certification. But one of the things the instructor will go over first, dear folks, is when you are rescuing a drowning victim, when you get to that person, you must, first of all, give them words of comfort. You must let them know that you are there to help them. And you have to give them a command to stop fighting. Stop swimming, because a drowning victim is panicky. They're going every which way. And this is what will happen. If that person is not convinced to be totally dependent upon the rescuer. In other words, when you grab that person, you'll grab them from underneath their arm. And you will swim sideways with your arm kicking. They must be totally compliant and dependent upon you and your swimming ability. They're supposed to relax, because if they're fighting, the rescuer can very well be drowned. It's happened before. So we see people crying out for help. You get the picture. Yes, there's a cry out for help. But with that crying out for deliverance, you got to realize there must be a cry out of dependence. Like, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And you alone to deliver me, to rescue me. And I believe the psalmist, David here, is truly crying out with that spirit exactly. Like I said, the Lord God is the greatest deliverer of all. Boy, aren't you thankful that the Lord delivered us from the penalty of sin? Boy, that was the greatest first responder that's ever lived and ever will live, is the Lord Jesus, because He responded to man's great need of being delivered from the penalty of sin, which is separation from God. And the Lord Jesus, He did. He made a beeline from the glories of heaven down to an old manger, an old barn, and was born of a virgin. He made a beeline for the earth. And He came and lived 33 years, and He responded to ridicule, mocking. He responded to an agonizing death and did not open up His mouth, Isaiah 53 said. Because why? He was a first responder coming to deliver a helpless and hopeless mankind. And I'm thankful the Lord responded to us. He set a great example. Listen to a couple of these verses. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says this, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Get this. "Who hath delivered us." Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption, deliverance through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing to know that the Lord Jesus came to rescue us. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, delivered with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Do you know that Jesus Christ was a deliverer, dear folks, even before this earth was formed? He's the deliverer. Hey, Romans chapter 11 also speaks of the Lord Jesus being the deliverer. I say all that to say this, folks. This cry from the cave, it was a cry for deliverance and a cry of dependence. But I want to go somewhere this morning that I think we all need to hear, including this preacher. You know, it is no doubt that God who brings the ultimate deliverance in each of our lives from sin and distress. But I would like to submit to you today that He has also ordained His people, His children, to be first responders. And that's the message this morning. I want us to understand that God is the greatest responder, but in that He has called His children to join with Him to be first responders. And this morning I ask you to ask the Lord to search your heart and to help you understand whether or not you are fulfilling the role as a first responder in the spiritual realm. As a God-called Christian, are you responding as God expects us to? You know, we've even studied it recently. What are some of the things that we know that God uses us in perhaps being a first responder? Well, we're vessels, He says. Vessels. Fit for the Master's use. So the Bible says we're co-laborers together with Him. It also says we're instruments of righteousness. We're tools in the hands of Almighty God. And then you know what else He calls us? Ambassadors. He says you are the people that are going to represent Me there on earth. I'm going to call you as ambassadors and you're going to represent who I am. And you're going to be in the ministry of reconciliation. That's a first responder ministry, dear friend. And the Lord expects us to do that with His help, of course. And I want to answer the question this morning. How can we, as God's people, fulfill our responsibility as first responders in the spiritual realm? I believe it begins, first of all, with a readiness to hear the cry of those in distress. I believe it begins with a sensitivity that is in tune to the cry of people around us, Christians and non-Christians, to be the proper first responders we need to be. This is an astounding statistic here, a fact. You know, there is an estimated 240 million calls made to 911 in the U.S. each year. Folks, did you get that? I never want to forget that fact there. The reminder of how many people every day are calling 911 for help that are in distress. You know, that averages to be about 658,000 911 calls a day. And our dear women, men and women here even with us today and that are out in our community serving even during this service are answering calls of people in distress. And you know what they've been trained to do? They've been trained to be sensitive and in tune to the needs of the community. To be ready at any moment's call to go and help, to go and protect, to do whatever it takes to be a great first responder. By God's grace, dear folks, we should pray to Almighty God, Lord, help us to be the spiritual first responders we need to be. Let me give you a few areas that I feel would be a help to all of us. To be the first to respond to some of these descriptions, some of these groups of people. You know, we need to be the first to respond to those, number one, who are deserted. You know, we see here that in our text that the psalmist, David, he felt deserted. He felt like he had totally been left. And he had been. There was no man by his side. No one there to help. And folks, can I submit to you this morning that there are many people around us that have been deserted. They've been left to themselves. They've been ignored for whatever reason. And they're all alone. And may God give us a tender ear and a tender heart to those that perhaps are in that category. And here's the thing. A lot of times you will not know who they are unless you ask. Unless you ask. Many people who feel deserted in their hearts and lives, that they've been left all alone, many times they will not say anything. They keep it to themselves. But what perhaps will open them up is a sensitive, Spirit-filled Christian saying, hey, is everything okay? I noticed there doesn't seem to be something right here. And are you sure everything's okay? And that many times will trigger a response of releasing a burden. You know, Paul dealt with this, did he not? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, he says this, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And he says, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You see the heart and spirit of Paul. He said, everybody left me. I was all alone. But listen to what he says in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And that's what the Lord will do. And I want to tell you, a lot of times the Lord will do that through His children. Showing up at the right time with the right phone call, with the right email, with the right letter, with the right text. Just being sensitive to those that perhaps feel deserted and alone. Oh, may God help us to be sensitive to those that perhaps feel all alone like David felt in this passage. But not only those that feel deserted, but may God help us to be first responders to those in our society and those that are in our church that are depressed. You say depressed? People in church get depressed? You better believe they do. We all face depression at different times in our life. Some of us go deeper than others, but the fact of the matter is we are all faced with depression. The spirit of depression is very real. And I believe that it drags down many a people into the very depths of darkness to where they don't even want to live anymore. And a lot of times what we do in our churches and our society is we almost want to shun those type of people. Or either just make believe as if everything's okay, or just pat them on the back and say, you know what, you'll be okay. But that's not the response that God Almighty wants His children to have to the depressed. He wants us to have a heart that reaches out to them. If I recall right, dear folks, people in the Bible have struggled with depression. Abraham, a man of God, a friend of God, struggled with depression. Jonah, Job, Elijah, King Saul, Jeremiah, man of God, great prophet of God, who wanted to die because of depression. He was so down and so low. And then King David that we read about this morning, he was a man that battled with depression very often. If you don't believe it, you hadn't been reading the book of Psalms. You find often a man that struggled greatly with that. But you also saw a testimony of a man that struggled greatly with depression, but then he also cried out for deliverance and of dependence. And we saw God give that faithfully. What a blessing to see. But listen to the Psalm 38. And if you don't believe me, this is just an illustration of it, a proof of it. Psalm 38, verse 6 and 8 says, listen to David. Now, you tell me if this doesn't sound like somebody depressed. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. My dear friends, depression is a very real thing. It is a very real struggle. And it is time for God's people to be the first responders to those that may be struggling with it. To reach out to them, not with a pat on the back, but to come alongside them and love them and spend time with them and encourage them and pray for them and pray with them. That's what a first responder Christian will do. And I know there are many that's in the same category that are depressed. And one of the first characteristics of those that are depressed, they do not share that deep struggle. But if somebody that is caring will come alongside and show forth the effort that I would love to help you and encourage you and come alongside and show that friendship, you know what? A lot of times that person will open up. And I ask you this morning, are you being a first responder to those perhaps that have been deserted or depressed? But then, thirdly, I would ask you this morning, are your ears in tune with those that are damned? You know, the Bible says there's a group of people that are damned. And those are those people that have rejected the gospel or yet have heard the gospel. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then he says this, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And I'm asking this morning, all of us, are our ears tender and sensitive to the need of the damned? Those that are around us perishing without any hope in their hearts, without any peace. And I tell you what, we need some first responders that'll knock on some doors, that'll hand out some door hangers, that'll pass out some tracts, that'll start praying seriously for lost souls, That'll start calling up some family members or write them a letter and say, look, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And that you would come to know Jesus and all His grace and all His mercy and forgiveness. You know, that's what I believe a first responder will be. Will have a vision of those that are damned and have a tender heart towards those that they will perish. Listen, your pastor is not a Calvinist. I don't believe in Calvinistic theology, my dear friend. It's a theology that has warped the minds of many, I believe, that have abused the fact that, okay, if God has chosen people to go to heaven and chosen people to go to hell, then there's no real sense of urgency to tell people about the gospel. In other words, if I don't tell them, you know, it doesn't really matter because they're going to get saved anyway. And yes, I understand we witness for the glory of God primarily. I believe that. But second there, to go with that, that's coupled with that, is I believe we witness and tell people about Christ because we're concerned about where their soul's going to go. I believe the Lord Jesus is concerned where their soul is going. So if Jesus is living in me, I'm going to be concerned about where their soul's going. And I should be broken about where they're possibly going. I should be moved by the possibility of their going. Oh, God, help me to be a first responder to the souls of dying men and women, boys and girls, that I might make a difference, an eternal difference in their life. Speaking of children earlier, boy, I tell you, children can just teach you the most precious lessons of life, can they not? Some of the most humbling times, just the comment of a child will humble you. And it happened to me just the other day. I was in a hurry. I had a little Marianne with me again. Marianne's the star of illustrations this morning. But I was in a hurry, and Marianne was in the back seat, and I had to hop out and grab something. I was at a place, and I went in real quick and came out and shook hands with a guy that was out there that I met and talked to him for a few minutes. And of course, I was in a hurry. And I needed to go. And so I was polite. I shook hands. And man, I'm on my way getting in the door. And I'm not even in the door good, folks. And little Marianne said, Daddy, you're not going to give him one of those pamphlets that tells him about Jesus? Man. It hit me so hard. I was stuttering. I said, honey, you know, I should have. But I didn't. Daddy didn't have any on him. And we're going to pray for him. That somebody does. And I said, Marianne, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for reminding Daddy of that. That I need to be concerned. Here is a 5-year-old that was more concerned about somebody's soul and she's not even saved than I was. And folks, we need to have a heart that is tender and ready to respond to the damned. With a gospel track, whatever it may be. You say, listen, preacher, don't you know that God uses other things beside gospel tracks? I would agree with you wholeheartedly that there is other things. There is other things, but can I ask you something? Are you using those other things? Because we all need to be using something. And a lot of times a gospel tract can just, when we don't have time to necessarily sit and chat for a while, it's easy to put the gospel into their hands and say, would you read this when you have a free time? And 98% of the time, people will take them. And it's probably a pretty big percentage, I'd say 50 or more, that will actually open it up and read them. So folks, I'm encouraging you and I'm challenging myself this morning. Let's be first responders to the souls of men that are drowning in their sin of condemnation because there's no one to share the gospel with them. No one to pray for them. These gospel tracts, we got them right back there. We got them down in the stairs at both doors. Listen, grab 5 or 6 every time you go out the door. Distribute them where you can. Be a first responder to the damned. And then also, may God help us to be tender and sensitive to those that are devastated. You say that happens in the church? Oh, yes. I mean, you think about, for instance, the devastation. You know, you can't help but think of 9/11. The devastation that took place. The mess that was made that day. I can't even fathom it, folks. I don't even know if the people in New York City can fathom the destruction that happened. They know a lot better than me, that's for sure. But I don't even know if they can really fathom. Do you know how much debris they removed from Ground Zero? I can't even get my mind wrapped around this, Brother Ricky. 1.8 million tons. That's a mess, folks. Devastation. And that's just the physical realm. Then you're talking about people that were destroyed. Families that were torn apart. Children without mommies and daddies anymore. Wives without husbands. Husbands without wives. And the devastation that came about. And boy, even as I preach this message, there's a hurricane bearing down upon Tampa, Florida that will be getting there and has already hit Puerto Rico and the other islands of the Caribbean, and it has brought devastation and will bring in the days ahead. We sent a love offering, those to the victims of Harvey, and the devastation that's still there that we only see in pictures. But folks, I want to submit to you today that those are the things we see on the media. But do you know that is happening in the lives of Christians every day? Devastation. Perhaps it was a wrong decision. Perhaps it was somebody else in their family that made a wrong decision. Perhaps it's just something that's taking place and they feel like their life has been devastated. You know, there were people like that in the Bible too. I think about Job. Oh my, we could spend a lot of time there, couldn't we? A man who lost everything. His belonging, his possessions, his children, his animals, everything. The man's life was devastated. And we saw his humility. We saw his weakness at the same time. He didn't know what the world was going on. There was devastation. We see even in the book of Habakkuk, there was devastation there. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, is what he said. He said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Listen, I'm telling you, devastation is around. People have been devastated by sin. And we got to respond to that. Not with condemnation. I don't know about you, but when I mess up, when I really mess up and make a foolish decision, I'm already condemned in my spirit. The last thing I need is a Christian to come along and start condemning me. What I need is a Christian to come along and give some comfort from the Word of God. Somebody that will come alongside me and love me and say, listen, hey, I know where you've been. I've made some dumb decisions too, but I want you to know God will forgive you for that sin. God will restore that sin. He'll give you back what you had. He'll restore that. But there's devastation, and a lot of times we want to, as Christians, forgive me, but we want to kick the wounded. Can I say this? God does not want us to cover up sin. In other words, if somebody's devastated by sin, He doesn't want us to try to hide it, put a cover over it to evade embarrassment. No, He doesn't want us to do that. But neither does He want us to celebrate it. There's some that want to cover it up. There's some that want to, I told him he was going to end up there. That's sin, folks. That's sin. Let me tell you something. Yes, we are to confront with compassion and love, but the Word of God says in Galatians chapter 6, He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, here's the key, spiritual. That's a key word there, my dear friend. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then He goes on, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And boy, I'm afraid that a lot of us have gotten cold and calloused toward those that have been devastated in some form or fashion. And listen, folks, we need to reach out and show the love of Christ as we are read in Galatians chapter 6, and show that love that is so desperately needed, that is to show, that support. You know, we've seen it, have we not? My, have we seen it. And boy, what an encouragement. And for instance, for this hurricane down at Harvey. Man, it's bringing the nation together. No matter what skin color you are, no matter your background, no matter your bank account, all people from all types are just coming together. Why? Because they're just showing care and compassion. Things are a mess, man. They're going into houses and rebuilding as the floods go down. And man, those people down in South Florida and the Caribbean Islands, there's just a spirit of unity when devastation comes. And folks, that should be the same for the church of God. Perhaps there are some that are struggling in that area. May God help us to come alongside. I must move quickly. This is the last point, and then I'll close in prayer. May God help us to be first responders to also those that are divided. That are divided. You say there's divided people in churches? Oh, yes. Absolutely. There is division in churches. There is division out there among God's people that should not be. And I believe that God expects His children to be first responders to people that are divided. I believe He wants us to be peacemakers. I believe He wants us to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation, and not only bringing men to Jesus Christ, but also bringing men to men in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe it's clear in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, it says this, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," look what he says, "glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." He's saying it's from the devil. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." But get this, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them," get this, "that make peace." Every one of us know of a situation, whether it's in this church, or whether it's in your family, whether it's in your community, that you very easily could be a peacemaker. You could be a first responder to a situation, to a party, saying, "Look, I know there's been some offenses here, but listen, can I share some things with you that I think will be a help?" Sometimes, as Christians, if we don't watch out, we'll get to fan the flames and add fuel to the fire. Instead, hey, God's called us to be people of peace, to say, "Look, I know what they said was mean. I know what they said was offensive. I know what they did was wrong. I know what happened there was way out of whack. But listen, can we bring some things together in the name of the Lord Jesus? For the glory of God's sake." You know, that's what Jesus Christ did. We read in Ephesians. I don't have time to go there, but Jesus made peace. He brought to make peace through the blood of His cross. Philippians says, "Hey, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others." Can I give you a life principle that I think will help, that's helped me tremendously? Always be a person that promotes reconciliation. You think about that. Always be a person who promotes reconciliation. You're always ready to be reconciled with someone. Perhaps there's been a difference. But not only that, but you're always wanting to promote reconciliation between other parties. What is that? That's a spirit of Christ. And it's a first responder saying, "Boy, this thing's headed toward devastation. I got to respond and try to pray for this situation and be a blessing and an encouragement." You know, these men and women that we prayed for just a minute ago have set a great precedent of hearing the cry of the helpless. May we follow their example of what they do daily physically for the physical lives. May we follow that example, dear folks, spiritually. And hear the 911 calls that are calling out all around us in these areas that I have discussed this morning. Simply being sensitive and in tune to what they have. I want to read this to you, and I think it would be an encouragement. We'll close in prayer. Listen to the verse of this hymn in this area of being a first responder. It says this: throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. My challenge to you this morning, dear church, is will you step up and be a first responder in the spiritual realm? Would you stand with me, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, as the musicians make their way, I want to first of all ask if there's someone here today, you say, Pastor, honestly, I don't believe I've ever made peace with God. I don't know that I've ever been delivered from the condemnation that is hovering over me, the wrath of God that is there. And you say this morning, all I ask is that you pray for me. Somebody here that is concerned about where they're going to spend eternity, if you were to walk out of here today and God forbid, die in a car accident, where would you go? You say, really, preacher, I don't really know. But today, I'm willing to at least raise my hand and ask for prayer in this doubt that I'm having. If that is you, and you would say there is doubt there, I don't care if it's just 1% doubt. You say there's just a little bit of doubt there, and I'm asking you, preacher, pray for me. Would you lift your hand up high enough so that I can see it? Just lift it up and you can put it right back down. Would you lift it up as high enough that I can see it? You say, there is doubt in my heart whether or not I will spend eternity in heaven. Anybody like that? Well, that makes me assume that everyone else here is a believer in the Lord God. Has been born again by the blood of Christ. And so my question to you this morning, are you being a first responder as God would have you in these areas that we talked? In the moments ahead, I would just ask you whether you need some counsel from the Word of God, how to be saved, or you need to make some decisions about determining to be a first responder for the glory of God. If you need to do business with God, as the musicians begin to play, I would ask you to even come now. You be obedient to God's Spirit. If God is dealing with you as the musicians play,